KABB. KEA-TFM. WATIJ. KABB. CQ from WATIJ, Waterford, Michigan. KEA-PSI. How we doing today, Greg?
Oh, I'm all right. One more clearing of the snow this morning. It was just a dusting, but I'm officially over it. Currently at Hall Road in Tilch. I had to take my wife to the ENT with a sinus issue, and I'm sitting in the parking lot waiting on her.
I'm going to drive right past you. I'm heading to Home Depot right there.
Ah, cool. What's at the depot?
I lied. You're further west. I'm going to Heidenreich. I'm an idiot. They had a deal on the M12 fuel vacuum. You got a free battery with it, so the vacuum breaks down to be like $65. And I've been looking for something small and easy and wieldy to put on my workbench in the basement because there's always crap on it. And then still have to figure out how I'm going to clean all my joists down there because there's some, you know, construction goodness falling out of it still.
Oh, all right. Well, he caught a sale on that. That's cool.
Yep, I'm a sucker for a deal.
Yeah, and it's actually something you need and will use. So it's like a triple bonus.
In my defense, I've been looking at them for a while. And this is, you know, I know they do these things often at Home Depot. They'll do the free battery promotion. So I told myself, I'm like, when I see it on sale with the free battery, then I'll buy it. So I don't feel as guilty.
Yep, roger that. Yeah, anything like that, if you get the battery deal or a charger or whatever, that's definitely the way to go.
Yes, sir. Well, I am pulling into the depot parking lot here, so I'm going to jump out. If you're still here, I'll be back in a couple minutes. If not, have a good day, and I'll catch up with you later. NADBF, I'll be clear of yours.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'll probably be a while, so I'll be out and about. KEA-VSI.
Now, Heidenreich.
to a Dubai.
We have ways to make you talk. You will drive on Heisenberg Road.
What are you up to today? Are you working? Is it a holiday? I don't know. What's going on with you?
Yeah, for some reason we have President's Day off, so I don't know why, but we do. I think it's because, well, Valentine's Day was, what, Friday, and then they gave, President's Day happened to be Monday, so they just gave, they figure everybody's taking those 4 days off anyway, so they just give everybody it off. But I think, isn't it like winter break for a lot of schools, too?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go. Well, I just took advantage of it and got some extra sleep. So I never know when I'm going to get some sleep. So took advantage of that, and I'm not sure what else I'm going to do the rest of the day. Still garbage day, so I got to take care of that at some point. But have not done any snow work out there. I hear everybody's having drifting snow and they're getting that off their driveway. I looked out there on mine and it's not too bad. I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah, I did mine this morning. I could have left it if I wasn't, you know, anal guy. So, yeah, you're probably just fine. And it's going to continue drifting today with the wind and whatnot, so. What are you going to do?
Yep, I heard my friend, he says, oh, I need to go to Costco to get my car needs a workout or something. I don't know what he said. I was like, it's probably the worst day to go to Costco, you know, people having the day off and things like that. The best day to go was on Saturday when it was like all, you know, still coming down and everything, and you know, nobody wanted to go there. It was pretty in and out over there. But still, I was in the overflow lot. I just never understand that. Even though it's not busy in the store, it's still like the whole parking lot filled up.
Yeah, I've run into that too, that whole front area. I don't know. It's not a great parking situation to begin with. And then, well, Saturday, I didn't even think of that with the weather, but I usually like going on Tuesday afternoon, never on a weekend or holiday, before a holiday, or anything like that. So, but anyway, that's cool. You got it and out.
Yeah, latest thing is if I want pizza, I'll just go to Costco, I'll shop, and then you can get a full pizza for like $10. I mean, it's a huge pizza for $10.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. If you tie it together like that, that's actually pretty cool.
I'm sorry you have to go to the doctor, or your wife has to go to the doctor. That doesn't sound like fun. I wonder if you guys got the same doctor. Do you guys go to, Silver Pine? Is that your, like, group of doctors you guys go to?
Yeah, she doesn't have anything. It's a chronic sinusitis issue that she's been going through for years and years. And this time, she's just having trouble getting a handle on it. And, yes, she goes to the Silver Pine group, so, yeah.
That cracks me up. It's like, so your wife goes to Silver Pine, I go to Silver Pine, Gary goes to Silver Pine, Eric goes to Silver Pine. Everybody, if you're a ham radio operator, you go to Silver Pine.
Yeah, I ran into my another buddy at one of them once, too. I was picking up something for my wife, and a script or something, and he was there. I don't, which is weird. I don't know. I just never really had a... went that way. I don't know. But anyway, a lot of people utilize it, I guess.
Yeah, you're the smart one because they're pretty busy all the time and it's hard to get in. You know, if you get sick, hard to sometimes get into their doctors. Usually you can get in to see the physician assistant or the nurse practitioner, but it's hard to get to see your main doctor with this group.
Yeah, agreed. If you got a regular standing appointment, you get the doctor, but anything in between, yeah, you get somebody else, like you said. But this is an ENT that she's been working with forever, so they know her real well. And she actually called this morning and got an appointment, so we're here now. And I'll be sitting out here for a while, because that's just the way it is. But she got in, so that's cool.
Yeah, in other news, I found a deal on, like, it looked like it's not quite the chili dog antenna. It's kind of the same principle. It comes with, like, a little coil, or where do you call it, where you plug the coax into, and then you plug the whip into, and then the ground stake. And they give you, like, this ribbon cable that's, like, the radials, which is kind of funny. But I think normally they sell for like $90, and it was like $30. It was on sale for $30 on AliExpress. I was like, well, for $30, I gotta try it. I mean, if anything, I just get an extra whip I can use with my chili dog.
It's down to $22.75.
Ah, well, you'll have a spare antenna, or if anything, or a spare whip, like you said. Be interesting to see what that ribbon cable is all about. But yeah, now, good afternoon, Sean. $22.95, geez, that's almost a no-brainer. KE8VFI.
Even better. Cool.
I clicked on that link you sent, and when I got there, it said 75% off, $22.75. I'm like, holy moly. And it's got up to 14 vibrators.
14 vibrators? I don't know what you mean by that, but okay.
Apparently, section and vibrator are the same thing in Chinese.
Yeah, they got this one picture, Greg. It shows the extendable whip, and it says smooth stretch up to 14 vibrators.
Huh. It's weird, the terminology they got on some of these things, and I'm kind of looking through there now. Antennas, I'm assuming? All right, we'll check it out.
If you look at some of the reviews, they really mangle the box that it comes with.
Three to 600 watt. What does our chili dogs do?
No idea. I don't think you're gonna put 600 watts for that thing.
Now, have you seen this MA12 knockoff that they've got here? It's 100, but I mean, it comes with a bag and all the, you know, all the spike and all the tools. I mean, it's got the seven meg coil. That looks very much like I remember the one of those antennas you guys were running. Was that the Chili Dog? I don't know, but it's what do they call it here? MA12. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah, that one definitely looks like a clone of the Chili Dog antenna.
Right, and it's $100, so it's, you know, I think it's less than half, right?
I think they wanted $150 for Chili Dog one. I don't know. But yeah, it's the exact clone of it. It's funny.
Then they got this JPC-12 for the same money, and it's got the real thick pieces that you screw together. It's not, that one looks pretty good too. It's right there as well, 99.80. But all of them have like 20-some bucks shipping, so that runs it up pretty quick.
Yeah, I went after that other one just because it was 30 bucks, and I figure if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't work well, I'm wondering if I could take the chili dog's antenna, find where it's marked on the chili dog antenna, and do the same marks, you know, kind of put them next to each other and mark them the same way. I wonder if it would work. I'll have to try it.
If anything, you could tune it to each band and just put a mark on there.
AF8S. I like how they use a ribbon cable for their radials. It's basically like, it's like fully together ribbon cable, and you're supposed to split the, basically, or so, the way they do it, they split the ribbon cable, and that's how you get your radials.
Yeah, not a horrible idea. Should work just fine. Okay, 8VSI. Did anybody catch Davian at Wetzel today?
Not I.
Yeah, I don't have anything up for Trent right now. I've got a little BNC and like banana plugs on it with some wire that I use in the upstairs bedroom so I can listen. I hook my 705 up to it. Works pretty good.
You guys are doubling.
Good morning or afternoon, Jay. Yeah, Dave, the first part of you, I was doubling with you, but no big deal.
More.
Well, the In-N-Out at Home Depot for Dakota, I think he's going to exit with more than a little vacuum that he wanted.
The vacuum was just to suck him in.
What kind of vacuum did he get? I heard something about batteries. Is it a little handheld battery one or something?
I don't know exactly. He told me, I think, the model, but I wasn't familiar enough. But he said he wanted it for his bench in the basement, I think. So I'm really not sure. It could be anything.
Well, I have a little Ryobi. It's a little square, like it's a shop vac, but it's kind of a little square, like it looks like a big lunchbox or something, I don't know. And but it's basically shop vac, and runs off my Ryobi batteries. And I like it. It's perfect for what I use it for. And you know, it's you got to run out to the car and just real quick, you know, get the car knocked out, or you know, a place where you just can't get a cord real easy, or if you just got it nearby and they're using it to clean out a computer case or something like that. See a quick cobweb that's you know, driving you up the wall, you can grab it and real quick get it. So it's great for the things I use it for, which is I think the intended purpose. You know, if you got any major projects, you know, you need something more.
Yeah, roger that. I got a couple old Hoovers that are like that, but they're AC powered. They work great, but you need a cord.
Anybody familiar with the gas station sheets?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes.
Well, apparently they're coming to the area. I've never seen one. Somebody, hopefully I'm not. We traveled out in like Pittsburgh area a couple of times and spent a week out there one time, and every time we could hit a sheets, we would. A coffee bar, like 30 feet long with all kinds of stuff, made from scratch food back in the kitchen, that type of stuff. They're not Buc-ee's. They're kind of like an everyday Buc-ee's, and they're well worth it.
Alrighty, well, I guess there's a few coming. You got two coming in Warren, 12 in Mound, and 12 and a half and 13 and a half in Van Dyke. But it says that they've also got some coming. Where the heck is it? I don't know. They mentioned other ones. I think there's some up Gratiot, and I think I heard they were... also announced three other approved stores in the area, 45075 North Gratiot in Macomb Township. So that's probably up there by that 23 in Gratiot area. Grand River in Farmington Hills and 12 Mile in Novi. So Sheets, coming to a corner near you.
One of those is Shelby Township, where I live. Well, I jumped in the middle of a conversation. I know you changed subjects, but I jumped in the middle of a conversation. I'll pop back out. I'm listening. ADHL.
Well, no big deal. We got the insight on it. That's cool. Good to know. It's weird that there's two that close together in Warren, though. But I'll check them out when they show up. We'll see what it's all about.
Okay. So I you guys is slow there with that.
All-star node.
Yeah, those last couple of transmissions weren't getting it. Just noise or whatever, static and whatnot, in and out. So, KE8VSI, hey Dave, did you get your parts for that new laptop? And if so, have you implemented them?
Yeah, I got everything up and running on it. And, I gotta decide what I was gonna do with it today. Yeah, I've done a couple tinkerings with it. Tried a few video games on it and tried, I got some Linux VMs on it. I guess VMware Workstation is free now. They don't require a license key or anything anymore, so that's kind of cool. I don't have to use VirtualBox anymore.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, so anyways, I got like, a little Debian VM and, I know Windows has got that WSL, Windows Subsystem for Linux, but I don't know, I just like having a real Linux install that I SSH into. And so all set up there. But I haven't really done anything serious on it. I need to program a few radios with it and all that. I need to make a sandbox Windows VM, though, I think. Some of these Chinese radios, you download their software, they have viruses in them. and the virus wouldn't show up. It didn't show up on Eric's machine. Like, the Defender didn't show that it was... malware in there, but then on mine it showed there was malware. I'm like, I don't trust these guys.
Oh man, yeah, I read a little bit of that. That's I don't get it, but okay, well, good to know. At least you know to be careful. And yeah, sandbox Windows install, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I still like my Mac, though. I just like, I don't know what it is. The Mac is lighter. When you type on it, it actually, like, you feel like you're being productive with it. This one here, like, the keyboard's like a full keyboard, and it's got the numpad and all that stuff, and it's just, but you just don't feel as productive on it, I guess, is like the, it's hard to describe, like, just the typing on it doesn't seem right. The trackpad's okay with it. I had to relearn, you know, you have to do a little bit of muscle memory learning on that. Instead of, like, the normal Mac gestures, what I would do on a Mac, this one's like, you know, you can tap on it, or you tap the two fingers for right-click and stuff like that. So I get used to that. But I think, really, I'm just going to use the thing for, I don't know. We'll see. Because, you know, everywhere I go with it, I got to carry around this big, thick power brick. It's more like a desktop replacement than anything.
Yeah, well, how's the battery life? I mean, if you can keep it charged up when at your desk or wherever, then you don't burn it all down real quick. I mean, how is it?
Yeah, I haven't really tested it with the battery life, but I think it needs the big brick for when you're using the GPU. And I'm not using the GPU most of the time unless I'm, you know, going to boot up a game. If I'm going to play a game, I'm not going to do it on battery power, that's for sure. But it's only an 80-watt battery, 80-watt-hour battery. So I should try it to give it a little how long until I need to plug it in again.
Roger. K-E-A-B-S-I.
The building, and I'm up here at 24, and we're going up kind of always at the edge of the water here.
Yeah, I'm sure the Romeo's not doing so well these days, so you're in an unfortunate spot up there.
Yeah, from my house, like immediately around my house, mile or so, I'm okay. But yeah, as I start to go north, I break out. So it is what it is. I like talking to you guys. You guys are the only people who talk IT, digital, and PAM combined type stuff. So unfortunately,
yeah, I know you're kind of against it, but in your current situation, I would maybe think about having some kind of like all-star node just to be able to get into the repeater more reliably until the situation gets resolved. Yeah, unfortunately you weren't making it there. All right, I'm going to jump out anyways. I got a figure out what I'm going to do today. Try to be productive. We'll chat with everybody later. KF8S. I'll be monitoring, though.
All right, Dave. We'll talk to you later. I'm expecting the wife to be walking out any minute, so I'll be out, too. And Tim, you are at the end of your rope, not getting much from you at this point. And good afternoon, Sean, as well. KEABSI, I'm monitoring.
N1BRD, mobile.
Was it November?
November 8, Mike Zulu. This is November 1, Kilo Romeo Delta, N1 KRD.
This is N8MZN, testing UHT, trying to see if I'm hitting the warn repeater.
W8RJD monitoring mobile. November 8th, pop uniform call for mobile. I didn't catch that call time, bud.
This is W8RJD, Whiskey 8, Romeo, Juliet, Delta.
Alright, did you say you were on mobile or were you just listening?
Now I'm mobile. I'm on 696 heading eastbound from Novi. Just finished up some visits for people who are going to be in guardianship, and I'm on my way back home. You know, I can't remember. Do you know when 696 is going to be shut down or if it already is?
I don't really know. I haven't been out that way in a long time. I'm heading south on 75 going into Clarkston. I used to work out that way, but, yeah, I don't know anything about 696 anymore, bud.
March the 1st, the eastbound side.
But, yeah, that's going to, March 1st, all right, that's going to be a big mess when they get that rolling, and I guess it's going to be a few years. I don't know, it feels like it was just yesterday that they just opened this thing up.
W8RCY here. It's going to take 2 years to demolish it and rebuild it, kind of like they did with 696 from Coinder all the way over to 94 in Macomb County. It's been a couple years to do that, and in my opinion, I think it's a little more dangerous now. When that thing gets wet, it's slick as all heck, and I remember the first year it opened up. And we had our first set of snowfalls out there. We had several multi-car accidents because everybody was slipping and sliding on that fresh pavement. So I don't know, but those are the dates. Well, that's the starting date, March the 1st. It's on the eastbound side, and it's 2 years.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. Yeah, that's gonna be fun. But yeah, I remember when they did the Quinder east side of it. That did take a while. But yeah, and it does get slick. I don't know if it's the. I know they were having pump problems and stuff like that. They were unable to pump the water out when you get into those trench areas and stuff like that. But I appreciate that. I forgot what date it was. Thanks a lot. W8RJB.
W8RCY. Personally, here is Donald, located in Madison Heights. Continue on, gentlemen.
Yeah, I forgot your call sign, but that station that was heading southbound on 75, heading into Clarkston.
Yes, sir, that was NHPUG, November 8th, Papa Uniform Golf. Adam is heading over to the Pine Knob Golf Course here, my brother-in-law's truck's acting up, so we're going to swing back down here. I live in Burton, so I think I come by and see if I can give him a hand.
Yeah, well, this is the weather where that kind of stuff starts happening. I had my couple of weeks, or what, about 3 or 4 weeks ago when we got that really cold snap, my battery just up and died on me. I walked out to the truck and the battery was just dead. Put it on the tester, everything, dead. That's when you find out about it, is when it gets really cold like that.
It's always dead of winter. I got to put rear brakes on my wife's car. Of course, it's going to be in the teens the next couple of days. Luckily, here, he works at the golf course, so I can, he's got it inside. So I'll be able to at least be warm.
Yeah, that's good. I'll tell you, that was one of the best decisions. I'm on the city council in my city, and one of the things they did, they paid a lot of money for it, but they basically built a big warehouse where they store all of our DPS vehicles indoors, and actually ends up saving a lot of money because most of these vehicles end up not without being stored outside. They end up saving a lot of their useful life. We end up being able to run them a lot longer than we would have normally. So kind of building ended up paying for itself.
Yeah, it's kind of wild to think about. Just weather alone can shorten the life of something like, you know, a car. It's just a car. You drive it, you start it, you run it around, you do whatever with it. And that's an interesting fact. I never would have thought of keeping vehicles housed in something would actually extend the life of them.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be bearing out. Then the other, and it's funny, so I was talking to one of the mechanics in there. He had this great idea. He was telling me that, you know, hey, we got all these different fire trucks. You know, they're all different brands. You got a Freightliner here. You got I can't remember who the other ones were, but he's like, we should all, as they die, we should all just go with one model. That way, we can keep parts on hand, repair them in house. We don't have to take them out. That ended up saving us a ton of money when we got the fleet transferred over. It took a while because we just waited until we took the engine out of service or whatever the vehicle was out of service. But we ended up buying all the same type of vehicle so we could keep all the parts on hand, buy them when they were cheap. Saved us a ton of money.
That's an excellent idea. Anywhere you can save cash for anything is a bonus, especially in today's world. Can't even fill up your car for, you know, I drive a little Equinox, so it's pretty cheap. Just fill 50 bucks to fill it up.
Yeah, I got this F-150. It's got a 36-gallon tank on it. Bought it because we like to go up camping and take the travel trailer, so I needed a bigger truck with a bigger tank in it. It depends on where I go, but, you know, it's close to $100 to fill the tank up.
So So before I got this Equinox, I had a 2001 Yukon with about 350,000 miles on it. You're right, it was $90, usually right around there to fill it up, and it didn't last very long. It was a week and a half of just going to work and doing a couple of little odds and ends. That was the biggest factor from getting rid of it, was just to save on gas.
Yeah, I got to tell you, now that I'm doing a lot more driving from work, I've been considering getting myself something a little smaller. Just as a, I'll keep the truck, but I was considering getting myself something a little smaller just to bang around and do this work stuff in, just maybe write it off as a complete work expense or something like that, because it's just the gas on the truck, it kind of eats into your profit a little bit.
Certainly does, but I've already made it to my destination quicker than I expected. Roads were good. I'm going to go in here and help him out. I'll probably be back on in a little bit. I don't know if he'll still be driving around or not. I don't get on here often. I listen a lot, but I don't talk much. I'm trying to get more into talking with fellas on here just to get more comfortable with me. But on that, I will be signing off. November 8th, Pop Uniform Golf.
Yeah, there's a good group of guys on this repeater, and it's fairly active. It depends on the time of day, but it's fairly active, and I got to get on more, too. I was in between job changes, which took me forever, but hey, good luck on the truck, and hopefully we'll see you later on down 73, NATUG, W8RJD.
I missed that. What was it?
It is cold outside.
It is. Yes. Now, I know I've talked to you before. Sorry, but I can't remember the name. It's Phil here.
Hi, Phil. It's Tom, Tango Oscar Mike. KC8KJO.
Now I remember. Yes. And where are you this fine evening?
Silver Bell and Lapeer Road, going home. I just spent all day at Great Lakes Crossing, up and down a ladder.
Okay, Silver Bell and... Oh, okay, I know where that is. And how does the repeater sound where you are?
It sounds pretty good. I'm hitting T500, so she's pretty gold darn clear.
Okay, great. You say you have the FTM 500?
No, that's Dakota with the FTM 500. I have an Olinco TR735.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a friend of mine just got the 500, too. I'm just learning about it. Now you understand they just replaced the camera with a 510 with $200 more.
Oh, lucky to get my Olinco. I got that for BXC for like $350, I think, something like that. But I forgot to get the digital chip. I'm like, I don't need that right now, but maybe it sometime in the future I'll order it.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that radio, so it's an analog radio, but you can get You can get the digital chip, which does what? It gives you DMR?
That's what I'm under the impression it doesn't say. All it says is you get this digital chip for like 150 and it's, what is it? Then you gotta take the radio apart, put it in there, and then press all this button and turn on that switch and, you know, take that gear kind of thing. So, what is something that you need right away because they already have a DMR?
Okay, I always wonder why in one of the major manufacturers have them come up with one that can do all the digital modes. It just seems like it would be everybody would buy one, I think, or most everybody. But so what's the model number for your link? I'm going to have to look that up.
I think it's the AR-735T. Something like that. Come on, it says in the back of my van, of course. But it's an Olinko. It's 70 on 10 meter and 70 on UHF 440. So I get full power on both sides.
Okay. I'll look that up and see what it says about that. Interesting. So, man, this weather is weird. I mean, the clouds looking really weird. There's openings, sun's coming through occasionally, but it's like a snow mist in the air. It's just like, it's like hanging where I am.
W8VIJ.
Yeah. Good night, Greg.
Yeah, you mentioned the weather. How you doing, Phil? Good evening. I've got good news. It's, supposed to warm up towards the end of February and even warmer as we enter March, so looking forward to that. Go ahead, other stations.
Very good so far. I had to change frequencies. I was on the Bloomfield Tower, or Birmingham, or whatever one that is over there. Just moved over to Warren.
Yeah, that's a little better. Yeah, for each side, definitely be on that one. So, I'm glad to hear that, Greg. I'm just tired of this, sub-freezing weather we've been stuck in and no sun. And you need a break. I wish we had the last year's winter. But I guess that's the nature of climate. It's cyclical. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I'm with you on that. I just, when I was looking at this one meteorologist's report, they were saying about the change coming up, and I'm thinking, well, good. I'm looking forward to that change. I'll let you guys continue, and didn't mean to interrupt W8VIJ.
Oh, you're good, Greg. KJO. We're just chit-chat. The radio busy, I guess. Nothing interesting, really. Except for just how cold it is, and I'm not happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, to the west, it's looking clear, but I don't know. Anyways, it is what it is. You have to deal with it. We still, seems like we're still in Michigan, even though we're getting this, we're not getting the worst weather. It seems to all go around us. It's almost like there's a protective bubble around us. I was just watching the weather report for the next couple of days, and it just shows this batch of moisture coming up from the south and the west, and then coming toward us, and dipping around us, and then going back up the east coast. Seems to happen. So I don't know how that is. You know, they say Michigan's going to, in another 50 years, it's going to be like what Florida is now. You know, it's going to be probably very little snow, warm, somewhat warm. But we'll see. I'm certainly not going to be around to experience that. son lives out there. I was out visiting him when the big fire started. We saw the first bits of it. We were downtown, kind of area in LA, and we saw these big, like semi-truck fire engines going by, and it said command post on them with generator, with trucks pulling big generators behind it, heading west. And then as soon as we left and headed west, we could see the smoke pouring out of the Pacific Palisades region. And that was like an hour after it started, you know, it was first called in. So it was freaky.
Yeah, I used to live in Torrance, you know, so it was 9 miles from the Pacific Ocean, but I used to hang out there in the Pacific Palisades, Altadena, Pasadena, drive all over the place when I lived out there.
Yeah, like the day before, well, I'm trying to think, was it the day before or 2 days before, we had just driven through the canyon to Malibu, driven all around that area. Marveling at the all the big fancy houses and, you know, the ocean and all that. And who knew, too, you know, a couple days later, it's all gone. You never know. Weird.
And I used to be a security guard for a base that was up there, right there by Will Rogers State Park. Big house. And I remember just like you can look down and see Loyola University, and you can see downtown LA, you can see the airport and the water. It was really a sight to see.
Yep, I know what you're talking about. Well, my son lives, lives just across the ridge of Mulholland Drive from the mandatory evacuation zone. He was in the get your stuff together and be ready to go with the zone. And and I was supposed to be there. We were supposed to be there all through that second week after, and things started to pick up again. I said, you know what? We don't need to be a burden on his family and stuff like that. I called Delta and said, can we get out early? And they said, absolutely, no charge. And they switched their flights, and we kind of left 2 days earlier.
Well, Fred, he was one of the lucky ones that made it through that turmoil.
Yeah, it's very fortunate the wind was blowing the way it was, because if it had been blowing the other direction, I think he would have been in serious trouble. Like I said, if you know Mulholland, the mandatory evacuation zone went right up to Mulholland. And he's literally just on the other side of it.
It's just kind of strange on how the fire started. I mean, it could be the high winds, you know, when you're whipping 90 miles an hour down that canyon. Yeah, it can knock out the telephone poles and cause some sparks here and there, but the way that it wiped through like that, that's unreal.
Yeah, I don't think they still determined what it was. I mean, they showed some pictures of, like, a fire at the base of a power tower, but those were high tension lines, and they looked like they were intact, and that they hadn't fallen, so, I don't know, maybe somebody set it to make it look like it might have been started by power lines. Who knows? I don't know if they'll ever know. ABPR.
KCKJL. Well, I'm sure after much investigation they will find the actual cause. But it's just odd that it skipped from the Palisades over to Pasadena and all the other areas. It's just kind of strange in my eyes.
Yeah, it is weird, but it was extremely dry there. They had only had like 3 inches of rain since last May, and the winds were high, so it could have just been the perfect storm, you know, kind of thing that allowed it to happen. But yeah, you gotta wonder, could it have been a form of terrorism or something? But then nobody made claim of that, and that's the whole point of it, I guess. So, or is it just coincidence or some idiot who gets off on fire? I don't know.
Well, then you have the other factor, too, is one thing that they are big on when you're going to those areas is you are not to flick a cigarette out the window. So you are to use your ashtray or extinguish it one way or another, but never out the window, especially with dry conditions like that. So that could have been a factor also. You know, but we'll never know. And, you know, with those high winds like that, those airplanes and those helicopters couldn't get up there fast enough. You know, they couldn't fly. So it just kept rolling on and on and on. That's when, unfortunately, your hands are tied, and so the opportunity is right for you to get up there and do something about it.
Yep. Well, most people in California drive with their windows closed. I very rarely see anybody with the window open. But yeah, that's an issue with flickering. I remember one time here, I was driving somewhere, and somebody going the other way flicked a cigar ash out the window, and it flew in my window and landed on my lap. Those people, I just don't understand what they're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, common sense. High fire danger, red zone, VR, nothing wrong with it. Smoke, but it can be used to. But I have an ashtray here. I never put it out the window or even the ashes up the window. So an ashtray is for it. Be considerate. Especially in that area. And it's probably what happened. Somebody was careless, and that's what started it. And it just went crazy after that.
Yeah, maybe. All right, I'm just about where I gotta go. So nice talking to you, Tom, and we'll catch you later. Okay, I'm just heading to the west, and it actually looks pretty nice out there. Kind of the sun's hitting the clouds. There's gaps in the clouds. Looks actually pretty. So 73 KGO ABPR.